What will Bernanke say this time?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. What a difference a year makes. When financial executives gathered at this time last year in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, the head of the Federal Reserve declared that it wasn't the central bank's job to protect banks or investors for their bad decisions. The Fed's annual symposium is getting underway in the shadow of the Grand Tetons today, and Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports the landscape looks a lot different.
The three-day conference reflects the new activist Fed. Its theme, maintaining stability in a changing financial system.
A year ago, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said the Federal Reserve was not there to bail out banks. Well, in the last year, that's exactly what the Fed and Treasury have done.
That's economist Peter Morici at the University of Maryland. Since the last conference, the Fed has engineered the fire sale of Bear Stearns. It shored up Fannie and Freddie. It handed out hundreds of billions in loans to reeling banks.
The Fed has assumed a new role, lender of last resort for banks that engage in irresponsible loans. It's loaned the banks far too much money without any conditionality, and now the Fed may be stuck with letting them keep it forever.
Morici says the Fed didn't force banks to improve their business practices as a condition of the loans. As a consequence, credit remains tight, and the housing crisis drags on. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
When Mr. Bernanke talks on the topic of financial stability tomorrow, Wall Street will no doubt be listening. And investors could sure use a little financial stability when it comes to speculation over whether the government will need to save Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. There's still no end to nagging worries over whether stock in those mortgage giants will end up being worth anything at all. Those shares plunged more than 20% yesterday, and at this hour, Fannie shares are off another 10%. Freddie stock is down more than 13%. The overall market's dragging, too. The Dow has lost 85 points, or 0.75%, right out of the gate. The Nasdaq's down 0.8%. The S&P 500 has shaved off 0.5%. Could it be game over for Nintendo? A Maryland tech firm is trying to stop the sale of Nintendo's top-selling Wii game console in the United States. Hillcrest Laboratories claims it holds the patent for motion-sensing controllers. Those interfaces are key to the Wii system. They allow players to mimic boxers, play tennis, or go bowling, generally interact with the game. The Wall Street Journal reports Hillcrest filed a complaint with the U.S. International Trade Commission asking for a halt to imports of the Wii into the U.S. It's also suing in federal court.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com.
Members of Congress are not allowed to use money in their campaign accounts to cover personal expenses. One senator recently asked the Federal Election Commission if he could use his campaign account to pay legal expenses related to a sex case. Without getting too personal, is that a personal expense? Marketplace's Steve Henn takes a look.
For years, politicians have grown accustomed to using campaign accounts as personal legal defense funds. Former congressman turned convict Randy Duke Cunningham used his to pay legal bills in a bribery trial. Larry Craig used his to defend himself in the wake of his arrest in a Minneapolis airport.
Well, that seems, in fact, quite personal.
Melanie Sloan founded the watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington.
The FEC has been slowly over past years expanding the circumstances under which a member of Congress can use campaign funds for legal counsel.
But apparently there are limits. Attorneys at the FEC just recommended Senator David Vitter not be allowed to use campaign cash to pay more than $100,000 in legal bills he incurred while attempting to avoid testifying as a witness in a prostitution trial. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Rebounding oil prices are rekindling worries about inflation. The price of crude is back above $116 a barrel. And still, our economics editor Chris Farrell is holding out hope that the cost of living will remain in check. What he's most worried about now is paycheck deflation. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. So I had to get you back here to follow up on something we chatted about a month ago. Let me remind you that you said you weren't so sure we needed to worry a lot about inflation. Well, this week we've got wholesale inflation jumping at the fastest pace in 27 years. So what do you say, Chris? Are you having nasty flashbacks to the 80s, or do you stand by that earlier assessment?
Oh, I stand by that earlier assessment. Now, it's a scary number, but we live in a service sector economy. Guess what service sector inflation has been running? 0.4%. It's down from a year ago. It was running 1.5%. So what you're really seeing is the impact of higher energy and food prices. But if you look at the two things that really matter, service sector inflation, it's down. And by the way, wages, they're also down.
Okay, look, after we spoke a month ago, we got some pretty strong reactions posted on our website. Let me
yes,
read you
we
just
did.
a little bit of a few of them here. If you take out food and energy costs, you still have 2.4% inflation. Meanwhile, the average pay increase is 3.4%, and most people still like the occasional bite to eat and a warm place to sleep between shifts. I think I read that as sarcasm, Chris.
I think it is. And this is one of those things where you take the headline inflation, consumer price inflation, and you take out food and energy. And if you're an American, what else is there?
What I think I heard you saying just a moment ago, though, is that maybe the emphasis shouldn't be on inflation so much, but on wages.
It should be on wages. That same report. Why aren't people worrying about the decline in wages? That is the biggest decline since 1990. So what's happening to people is that they have less money at the end of the month. They're not getting wage increases. Their health care costs are going up. That's not inflation. That just means their budgets are shrinking.
Aren't you goring your own ox here, though, by suggesting that wages should go up? That's just going to promote inflation, right?
Well, what I'm hoping is that I'm right on inflation, because if I am right on inflation and we get continued decline in some commodity prices, a little bit of relief there, then hopefully wages adjusted for inflation start to grow again. And all these cries that the Fed has been weak-kneed in the face of inflation and hasn't taken the tough action, that's wrong. It is really wrong.
Our economics editor, Chris Farrell, arguing for the best of all worlds here. Thank you, Chris.
I try.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We invite your thoughts at marketplace.org. Glad to have you with us this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.